Peter Himes. This is my film. I wrote, directed it. I have to say, this is the first time I've seen the film since 1979. I've never seen a film I've made when it's in release. I find it a little too painful to watch. So this is not going to be easy for me. I grew up watching World War II movies in black and white on television. When I was a kid, World War II was this romantic episode in American history where, among other things, we were right. And then growing up as a student during Vietnam, the idea of anything having to do with the military was so murky that the Second World War to me was something that we could be proud of, and it seemed all pure. So I wanted to make a film that reminded me of the World War II movies that I had seen on television. I wanted to make something about honor and about passion and some real kind of love story. And I happened to have been in London, actually meeting with somebody, with actually Lord Lou Grade, on a film I was going to make called Capricorn One. And suddenly the idea of making a film that took place in London during the war, about B-25 pilots, it just seemed like the kind of movie I would love to try to make. So I wrote the film. And there really wasn't a great dramatic series of episodes from the time I wrote it to the time I made it. I wrote the film. I made Capricorn One. And like a lot of people, when you make a film that somebody likes, they think you're better than you are. So they then said, okay, what else do you want to do? And I said, I'd like to make this film. I went to London. One of the first people I met with was the production designer, Philip Harrison. And I said, what I really would like to do is, we don't have a big budget. The whole picture was made for about, I think about $5 million at that time, which wasn't, you know, totally cheap, except it wasn't a fortune. And I said to Philip, I want to recreate a London street. We were at Elstree Studios, which is mostly no more. It's where Lucas had made Star Wars. And I approach this the way I approach a lot of things in my life, which is as an obsessive compulsive. So I read everything I could read. I studied every photograph I could study from the Second World War, especially about London and during the Blitz. And this image, actually, that begins the film, is very similar to some photographs I had seen. I think Philip did an amazing job of building the street. It had to be able to be shot from a number of different angles, because it's the only street we had. And fairly soon, there's a blitz. And what I was hoping for more than anything else was to be able to put on film something that looked like the photographs I had seen. Harrison Ford was not the hottest actor in the world at the time. He had done Star Wars. Actually, I think he had done the second one by that time. I thought he was spectacular. I thought he was great. I thought he was going to be a big, big movie star. Frankly, I don't think it took clairvoyance or genius to think that. Leslie Ann Down had done Upstairs, Downstairs, was just this ravishing and very good actress. She was only 25 at the time. The thing about Harrison, which I find so interesting, is I think what has made him and propelled him and sustained him as this gonzo movie star all these years is his ability to have his emotions maybe a centimeter from the surface of the skin. He is a very brave actor in terms of his ability to feel and his ability to project what he feels. He doesn't hold back, and I think that's what makes him so likable and makes him so sympathetic no matter what he's doing. The other thing about Harrison, which I don't think he's displayed as much as I wish he would, is he's hysterically funny. He's a genuinely antically funny man. So anytime he had a chance to do something that was funny, he could do it. And he was just unafraid to do it. and wonderful at it. It's this film is just, you know, 2 hours of my what I describe as West Side of Manhattan wise ass dialogue. It was fun though. It was fun because I don't know. It was just trying to evoke something that I loved. My style of cinematography is a very specific style. It was clearly evolving then. I was working with David Watkin, who's a wonderful gentleman and a very good photographer. And I think more than anything else, I was trying to project sources. I was trying to do away with traditional movie lighting. And David is a very receptive and extremely bright man. And I think he kind of bought into it. So we tried to make the film look a little non-traditional.
How am I supposed to look?
Like a short man.
Your boiled water's getting cold.
Let's have some more.
We sure were younger, weren't we?
Please.
All right.
John Barry did the score. John, who has won Oscars with writing wonderful romantic scores for things like Out of Africa.
What about you?
Did the James Bond theme.
Who are you?
And I think John's music...
I'm a short man.
...has a real effect on you when you watch the film.
...all my life and most probably always will.
What do you do here?
I work in a hospital. Mm-hmm. I tell a lot of young men that they're going to be all right and they believe me because they want to, because they're so young.
Boy, I got to tell you, it's very strange to see this for me.
I want it to all end.
It's been a long time.
I'll win the war for you.
That would be nice.
The things you remember, really, are quite often what you felt like when you were shooting that scene. I remember what it was like shooting the scene. I remember what the set was like. I remember dealing with the amount of smoke that I was putting in the scene. Trying not to make it too much, except trying to make it enough so that the background would be softer and out of focus. I used slightly cooler colors in the background than the foreground to separate Harrison and Leslie.
Chicago's very windy. Something's happening here.
Please don't.
Please don't what?
I have to go.
I don't want you to go.
I shouldn't be here.
Yes, you should.
I have to go.
There was a lot of cigarette smoking in this film, I remember.
I have to.
I want to see you again.
Can't.
Please, look, I just have a few hours.
When it came to the Blitz... I think in terms of scale for the amount of money we had to spend, I think we did okay. What I found interesting was that when I looked at the rushes and I froze certain frames, it bore a very strong resemblance to photographs I had seen and photographs I had studied and photographs I was trying to recreate. I don't know if you know it or not, London buses, those red double-decker things, are built so they don't go over. And in this sequence, we had to knock one over, and we actually couldn't get it over, and we wound up having to use a crane and a winch and a cable to get the stupid thing to fall over. It goes. Boink. It literally had to be yanked over. The thing wouldn't fall. Harrison, by the way, is also physically incredibly brave, and he will do any stunt you want. He will even add to it. He is not afraid of injury. I that's yet another thing that separates Harrison from me, is he's brave. Thank you. I guess this film made me realize that I'm personally kind of soppy and silly romantic, and only now that I look at it and hear the music and see the stuff, I go, God, this really was kind of a woman's movie. Believe me, that wasn't the object. World War II, especially by the, even in the 1970s and 80s in England, was still a gigantic topic to them. So it was interesting to have crowds of people from the area watching as we blew up the street, and they were all kind of saying, that's what it looked like, that's what it looked like.
No, you can't. I have to go.
My name's Haller, and David Haller, and I'm from Chicago. I'm not going to let you go. Tell me your name.
I'm sorry.
You're in my arms, you won't tell me your name?
Please let me go.
I have to see you again. My next day off is in 2 weeks.
God, he was sure cute in this, wasn't he?
I can't.
Meet me here, right here.
No.
In the same corner, right here.
I won't be here.
I will. I'll be here all day.
Please don't, I won't come.
I'll be here. Can't act like nothing's happened.
Most of this lighting was done with trying to match the color of flame, and some of it was actually done with flame. Again, over and over again, I was trying not to make it look like everything everybody had ever seen, and especially World War II movies, which were always in black and white, so I really wanted to add color. I wanted to make the anything to do with flame really ochre and deep, and I wanted to make the countryside that beautiful kind of blue-green it is in England in the winter.
Now, the objective this morning is this airfield, north-northeast of Rouen. Now, reconnaissance showed we didn't do too well here last night.
I am a freak about airplanes. I am a pilot. I'm a helicopter pilot. I've loved things about World War II pilots. My favorite book in the world is Catch-22. So I love this particular aircraft and these men who flew them. What we did was searched all over America and all over the world for how many B-25s we could find. We gathered them from a thing called the Confederate Air Force in America, which is a group of vintage plane owners, and some from other places. One man, a guy named Jeff Hawk, if you like the name, gathered them together and flew them over. They had to go by the Azores, and it took, I don't know, these things fly like 60 to 80 to 90 miles an hour. So it was a long trip.
Yes, sir, I'm sure that none of us would like to miss anything I have to ask.
We all gathered in this airfield, which had been a World War II airfield outside of London, waiting for them to come. It was cold and miserable, and evidently people had heard that these planes were going to come over. So a whole bunch of elderly people from the area gathered and waited. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we heard this rumble and looked up, and there was this squadron of B-25s coming in low over the airfield. And everybody was... all the local people were crying. It was really quite something. The painting and the labels on these planes, it's one of my few little private jokes. My wife's name is Georgianne, so the lead plane was called Gorgeous Georgianne. The producer's wife at the time was named Andrea, so another one was called Amazing Andrea. Brenda's boys, Brenda is the wife of Philip Harrison, the designer. I actually don't remember the 4th, 5th, and 6th one. Except I thought it was a nice surprise when my wife first saw the B-25.
Flaps lock. Camino. I don't understand it. They make it so goddamn hard to get in these things. I don't even want to be here in the first place.
Georgianne's not a name you see a lot. Richard Masser is wonderfully clever actor who really can say the kind of dialogue that I like to write. He actually says it better than I write it, except he's really good. Michael Sacks, I had seen and loved in Slaughterhouse 5. It's interesting, if you look, some of the guys in the crew, John Ratzenberger is part of the crew, John. He's an American living in England and scraping together a living, and then, you know, wound up starring in Cheers.
This pile of junk is heavy. It's heavier than air. Much heavier. Don't you see? This thing is not supposed to be up in the air.
There is some very good flying in this film.
Oh, Jesus.
These things are old. These things are not easy to fly. The trick also was to take six planes and make it look like more than six planes.
Asia Leader, the basic group, we are 20 miles from target, descending to 6,000. Bombs away at 6,000.
Roger, Pacer Leader, descending to 6,000.
This is Pacer Leader to group. Maintain your positions. We are 12 miles from target. Rate of descent, 1,000 feet per minute.
Mike Nichols had done Catch-22. And there's just absolutely brilliant aerial work in that. We just didn't have that budget or that amount of money. We did set up a real flak field. This is things that actually exploded in the sky. There were no visual effects in the movie. And these men were flying perilously close to it. This interior stuff is process. This stuff is not. This is real. Feathering that prop, you know, all those things were real.
Turn the hell back. How far from target?
5 miles. Let's turn the hell back.
That's right.
What's the slow to 200?
We'll be sitting ducks at that speed.
I'm going to get a rapid shot off.
How far from target?
3 miles. Am I the only one who's not crazy here?
Hey, Jimeno. You ever take a look at Hire?
I do name characters after people I know or like or stuff. Michael Cimino was a good friend of mine around about that time. I haven't seen him for years and years, so I named the character Cimino. I named the character Lucas because I'm just a fan of George Lucas's.
I'm going to drop the bombs and let's get the hell out of here.
Just a second.
Son of a bitch, we're over the target. The engine's falling off.
Hey, Chief, what do you think?
Take it all hold. We're going to wait.
Listen,
we got Sergeant York on the plane. I hate you, Lucas. God damn it. Look, we're over the goddamn target.
John Ratzenberger.
We're over the target, I swear to God.
My guess is you may be sighting just a little bit early because you're afraid the wing's going to fall off.
We took a...
wait just a few more seconds.
The body of a B-25, I think it was obviously an airworthy one, and from that we constructed the interior of the plane, which is really an old airplane, missing some pieces and kind of important ones like the wing. It's amazing how small these airplanes are.
They're away.
I remember the biggest fear we had the first time we dropped the bombs was to make sure that our plane wasn't over anybody else's plane so they didn't fall on top of it. This is a film that has a few areas of, without sounding too pompous, montages in it where you're trying to show passage of time without saying things. It's impossible to look at a movie you've made and not really wish you could reshoot every frame of it. All I really see now are things I've done wrong. And they seem to outnumber things I've done right. This street is quite small. I don't want to make everybody too aware of how small it was, except it was quite small. And the trick, like a lot of times, like a lot of things that we do, is to try to make sets look bigger than they are, more interesting than they are, and more faceted than they are. There was a great deal of smoking in this movie, that's for sure. The set was built at Elstree on the back lot. It was behind some pretty ugly little brick editing buildings. And the whole thing was built in, I think, about 12 weeks from the time we started. There were no other, you know, big sets. There was a Quonset hut in the interior of Leslie and Leslie's house. The rest just was real.
I was afraid, so I stayed where you couldn't see me.
And you're still afraid?
Yes. Just a few minutes ago when we had something to do.
The wardrobe is actually a great deal of fun. It's beautiful. It's very flattering. I don't think any guy can wear anything much better than a mid-altitude bomber jacket. And when you look like Harrison, it's, you understand what the wardrobe was made for. I remember when I saw The Way We Were, and the first time you see Robert Redford, he's sitting at the bar in his navy whites, and I remember the first time I saw it, I went, oh, that's why they made those navy whites. This is our love scene. It's not that tough to make a love scene when you have two really attractive people. This was not an R movie, so I had to be a bit chaste in terms of what we could show and what we couldn't show, and how much of it we could show. You know, it really was more about romance than it was about sex, so I don't think it was that big a hardship. I do look at this film, and I do look at the stuff I've shot, and I do think, boy, I could tighten it a bit if they'd let me. Sam Wild about the hand stuff.
Thursday. I can get back to London next Thursday.
Yes.
Tell me your name.
I can't.
Please?
No. I'm frightened.
I think it's difficult to make something look really bad in England.
Fred. You're embarrassed.
Especially if you're setting it in the Second World War. It's just such a photogenic time and such a photogenic place.
I love you.
Pacer, leader, the Pacer group. We are 20 miles from target. Begin your descent now. Bombs away at 10,000 feet.
10,000.
I think that's my voice on the radio. If it is, it's not out of a desire to be in a movie. It's probably because what we had recorded didn't sound very good. And at the last second, I did it.
Every time we fly over them, they shoot guns at us.
We drop bombs on them.
They have no sense of humor. Can't you guys take a joke?
Mind,
I really like Richard Nasser.
How far is target now?
3 miles.
Altitude?
Passing 500.
I honestly don't know how anybody had the courage to fly these things through flak fields and anti-aircraft guns and not to mention fighters. I just can't imagine how they did it. The life expectancy of these guys was not very long at all. Very few of them. Very few of them could serve more than one tour. And more than you want to know, serve less than one tour. The most vulnerable place in the airplane is the nose gunner, who is also the bombardier, which is Richard Massett, role. It's also Yossarian in Catch-22. It was a horrible place.
What kind of babies? I don't know, but when he sings, you better listen.
Do you think that's terribly funny, don't you?
Yes.
Now, Chris Plummer is a delight. A wonderful actor. And just a very, very, very interesting and dear man.
You think that's true? I don't know. If it is true, how come Dennis Kane doesn't have a mustache like his father?
Perhaps he's a reflection of his mother.
What I find really great is looking at this little girl. That's Patsy Kensit.
Oh, you do?
Who is, not a little girl anymore. And here is this sweet, slightly plump, peaches and cream little English girl. And the first time I saw her after making this movie, she was buck naked in bed with Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon 2. And I just remember thinking that this little girl grew up quite well and quite quickly. This house was built. I mean, the interior. It's totally a matter of personal preference. I tend to photograph with long lenses. I always try to design sets paying more attention to the depth rather than the width of the frame. I've tried to explain that. I love doorways that go in and open to another area that would be slightly lighter or slightly darker and then open into another area that's even lighter or darker than that.
Intelligence.
I think people look upon an anamorphic format, which is this widescreen format, as something that's very well suited to large and epochal movies. In fact, it's a beautiful, beautiful format for close-ups because it allows you to take a very tight close-up, throw the rest of the frame out of focus, and still see a light source or something deep on either the right or left side of the frame. I try whenever a photograph, something not to photograph it against walls. So you can see windows behind it, you can see light sources. So you get a sense of depth. I'm saying this, obviously, while I'm talking over a shot of a map.
You reckon you get a lot of flak?
Definitely going to be sick.
Helen, you fly in lead. Patman, you fly second lead. Now we've got cloud cover from 8 to 10,000. Scattered clouds from 15,000. You make the drop at 6,000. Now I know what it's going to be like. So be careful.
He knows what it's going to be like. He flew 100 missions over Lackland, Texas, and he knows what it's going to be like.
Now, we should have 5 to 10 mile visibility below...
This guy's name is Shane Rimmer. Shane is a very nice actor. He's Canadian. There is a cadre of American and Canadian actors in England who have basically been in every good-sized American film shot over there. You'll see Shane and a guy named Bill Hootkins. You'll see them in Star Wars. You'll see them in this film. You'll see them in Bond films. They're very good.
Make it easy with him. Anything with Brett later. Don't take it easy with him. Say something with Brett later. Maybe we'll get around.
Sit down, huh? You know, every group of men is always one man.
This was at a time when smoke was very, very fashionable in terms of shafts of light coming in through everything. Clearly, some of it's overdone, like a lot of things I do.
Now, you understand what I'm saying?
No, sir.
Some of it is actually fairly difficult in terms of really how do you get the proper exposure and not make the film look overlit.
No, sir.
What do you mean, no?
No, sir, I don't understand, sir. What cracking around, sir?
You're a wise ass. You even say sir like a wise ass.
How should I say sir, sir?
I'm going to get you. That's what I'm going to do. You blink the wrong way, and I'm going to nail you.
You understand?
Yes, sir. You're going to nail me.
You get the hell out of here.
That's actually not a terribly framed shot.
You okay?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
They didn't like my attitude. Lucas, you check this gear?
Sure, I said.
This is one of the three or four sunny days.
Fire pressure?
During the 10 months I was in England.
So you've never done this before. Check this.
Here's Ratzenberger.
I like this attitude. Different. But it's one fine attitude.
When I was a little girl, I used to spend summers at my grandfather's. It looked exactly like this.
You worked on
a when you have a short schedule.
I don't know, it just don't
seem like there's things you do. I mean, if you look carefully, that's that shot of that Jeep bears a remarkable resemblance to the shot of the Jeep going away. And basically what you have to do is shoot it going one way, shoot it going another way, with slightly different lighting conditions and a different lens. However, it's one way of saving time. When I was a kid, there used to be the Lone Ranger on television. I remember being 7 years old watching and going, God, I think they ran by this rock before. And it turns out that if you watched it, it's one rock and they run by it 15 times in 10 minutes. Dreaded montage again. Barry can write pretty music.
Halloran?
Yes?
I love you. My name is Margaret.
No kidding.
No kidding.
You love me?
I love you.
Your name is Margaret?
My name is Margaret.
Maggie, I like the name Maggie.
I can't stop it, you know, no matter how hard I try.
I am guilty of not remembering this at all. Don't remember the shot. It
terrifies me how much I want you. It must be wrong to want someone this urgent.
I'm somebody who has real difficulty looking at my own work. I'm kind of like a dermatologist. I only see blemishes. I don't see anything good about it.
Except I'm with you now, and that's all I can.
I really wish I could reshoot everything, make it better. I think that's why I've never, ever, ever seen a film of mine once it's in the theater. I can look at a film that I'm doing 1,000 times because I can make it better. As long as I could take a frame out, as long as I could change something. Except if I can't make it better, it's a little too painful. I don't think I'm good enough. On the subject of good, that's Alec McGowan, this wonderful, wonderful actor. I had seen him in what turned out to be Alfred Hitchcock's last movie. He was just terrific.
Reed was dropped in Lyon. 2 weeks later, he was killed.
Yes?
A month ago, you sent another agent in.
Forbes? A good man.
Quite. Yesterday, we received word that Forbes had been found dead.
What do you think?
I trained both of those men. I knew them well.
This is a practical location.
They were not.
They're a bit more difficult to light.
Especially mistakes so glaring.
Because you really can't control everything as much as you'd like to control it.
There has to be a leak somewhere. The identity of those men had to have been known before they were dropped. It would take that long just to find them. There's a double agent here. Fairly high up, I'd say. It's the only explanation I can have.
I agree. The last communication we received from Forbes was that Gestapo headquarters in Lyon had
too much smoke.
Double agents in London.
You have to learn, and I think normally you have to learn the hard way, how to photograph if you're going to use any kind of atmosphere. If you're photographing toward light, you have to use much less. And if you're photographing away from the light, you have to use a significant amount more. This is an example of me not having learned yet. Hopefully I have now.
That's where our man will have to go.
He had three children.
Did you say something?
I was saying that Forbes had three children.
Yes. Obvious we're going to have to do this differently this time. No one, I mean, no one outside of this room may know.
I love using English actors. They sound so English.
Our man can't even transmit the list back. Once he gets it, he must make a copy of it and bring it back without the Germans knowing about it.
Who do we have?
I've narrowed the list to two. McCallum and Wells. I say Wells.
Quite right. You'll work with him.
I'm not sure he's ready.
You make him ready.
Actually, the name Wells, I named after a man who was head of Warner Brothers and later head of Disney, named Frank Wells, who I adored.
Oh, God, I think I'm going to die.
Of what?
Look, Mommy, isn't she beautiful?
Yes, she is.
Isn't she the most beautiful thing you ever
That's
saw?
That's Patsy Kensit, my God, look at that.
Who's more beautiful than she is?
You are.
She can close her eyes, and you can curl her hair.
This is a real street in England. We did not build it.
I suppose there's no reason in particular.
I think it's one of the reasons why it looks pretty authentic.
No reason in particular. It has nothing to do with this.
There's some great old trucks in some of these shots.
Mommy, when am I going to get
little
dressed?
Next Tuesday, why?
Meat trucks and knife sharpening trucks.
Well, they do look best with formal wear.
What would Daddy like?
Pick him like anything you get him.
I want to get him something special.
About a tie.
A tie's nice. Daddy has ties.
Daddy has most of the things that we've seen.
I love these crescents. They're in very fashionable parts of London. I think this one was called Wilton Crescent in Mayfair.
Because it's from you. Not because it's blue or red, but because it's from you.
Mummy, do you know any Germans?
Not too many.
What are they like?
Really? No, probably very much like us.
Do you think there are German children buying Christmas presents for their fathers right now?
It's interesting. Leslie's 25 and she's wearing this grown-up clothing. She looks older than 25. I think it's the clothing. This obviously was a shot where I wanted to be able to see the actors moving the plane, and obviously they can't fly the plane, so it's a matter of hiding the pilot. While we're taxing one way or the other, and they're shooting from the right side to make sure that, you know, you use the pilot in the left seat. If you're shooting from the left side, you put the pilot in the right seat so you can see the actors here. So you've got Harrison in the left seat, except he's not really flying the plane, and you've got the pilot in the right seat. Interestingly enough, Harrison has become an excellent pilot himself. Both a helicopter pilot and a fixed-wing pilot.
Listen to number one.
Why, what's wrong?
I don't know. Something doesn't sound right.
Leader, this is Tower Rover.
Just 1 second, Tower
Rover. I like seeing gorgeous Georgian.
Check the RPMs.
RPMs.
I think it's the only plane in history ever named that.
Lucas, are you hearing number one? Something doesn't sound.
You'll notice he can't really see the guy sitting in the right seat. That's because his face is hidden so he could fly the airplane.
Something's not right. They just don't want to show it.
Leader, this is Tower. Please answer, over.
Tower, this is Leader. Over.
Begin your takeoff.
I got a problem with my number one. I'm coming back, over.
Repeat that, please, Leader.
I got a problem with my number one. Over. I'm coming back.
And now you'll see the plane's going to taxi and make a turn.
Turning to base.
Dodge Tower or Price, you become Batman number two. Anderson, please follow Price.
And you never see the face of the guy in the right seat.
Now listen, you creature, it's very late. If you want Christmas morning to come, you have to go to sleep now.
I can't sleep.
I know that, but you have to.
I really enjoy when you're trying to photograph something at fairly tricky light levels to be able to use white on walls because you can get different colors by just slightly changing the color temperature of each lamp.
There's nothing in particular that you want.
So the walls down the doorway are the same color as the walls in the room, except they're warmer because the light's a bit warmer.
I had a little friend of my own to play with.
I'll have another baby.
And I like the ability to, the idea of designing something so that you have some depth and you can see three different colors and three different light levels.
Good night, old Ben. Dream as sweet as dreams.
There is a fairly old and tried and true bromide about composition, and that is that the foreground should be darker than the background so that the eye is led into the depth of the frame, whether it's a painting or a photograph. It still holds true, I think.
From you, I love it. Good night.
Good night.
I kind of like that.
I am sound asleep.
Did you put a present out for
I am madly and passionately in love with this format, though. With the aspect ratio of 2:35:1. I just think it's so beautiful.
Is it she wants with another doll?
I remember I was talking to Steven Spielberg one day, and he was about to do Jurassic Park, and he told me he was going to do it in a 1:8:5 format. And I asked him, well, Steven, why aren't you using a 2:35 format? And he looked at me, realizing how stupid I was, and said, because dinosaurs are tall. It was like the best answer anybody's ever given me about anything I've ever asked. So I would think unless you're doing a movie about dinosaurs and giraffes, I still prefer this format.
Fighting wars never seem to make much sense. It just seems it makes less sense on Christmas.
That's a better example of what I'm talking about light in the background and darker in the foreground.
I wonder what the other side is thinking right now.
I am a extremely vocal and passionate believer that night is not blue. Night is just dark. So when you turn the lights out in the room, faces should not suddenly turn blue. And you're always conflicted about how much light to put on somebody. I mean, they are in a dark room. There really is no justification for that amount of light on them. So one thing I did right there was that these musicians are in sync to the music they're playing. I can't stand when you see music and somebody's playing a horn or a violin or something and it clearly is not, and clearly not playing the actual music these people were.
Harry, you have a beautiful throat, do you know that?
My name, Billy.
Of course it is. You have a beautiful throat, too.
Do you want to dance?
Susan, my darling, ordinarily that would be a wonderful suggestion. Under certain conditions, I am your actual predecessor. However, since the injury...
Just physically, logistically, in terms of making this, I thought it would be interesting to use these lanterns, these Japanese-style lanterns, and actually light the set with them, and the bulk of the light is literally all coming from them. There's some augmentation. Not a lot.
Oh, Kenneth, that's really very,
Paula,
very...
my sweet. Paula, it's really nothing to make a fuss about. Sometimes the pain... What's
Life without pain, I always say.
How about another little drinky?
Hey, Chivino.
Hiya, hello.
Listen, you gotta help me.
Have you met Barbara?
Silly.
Have you ever seen such a throat?
Listen, Jerry. Got this one all primed, except she won't leave her friend alone. Now,
Fire, you know, I've always harbored this.
I don't know what Michael Sachs has been doing lately. He's really a good actor. And a very, very bright and interesting
man. What am I going to do?
How about Helen? Give one to Helen.
I don't think so.
Come on. It's a terrific idea. Come on, Rita. We're going to all go over and be with Helen.
Yeah, who's walking into the air?
My God, I can walk again. This is our leader.
It's a little bit Harrison. He's
Elizabeth, meet Halloran.
He is so brave about showing how he feels. I think that's why he ranks up there with the Stewarts and Coopers and people like that.
Let's go somewhere we can be alone.
I find a lot of actors are protective, a little self-protective about feeling real pain, about feeling real sadness, about even shedding tears. I think that's what makes Harrison such a wonderful presence on the screen.
Yeah. Let me put it another way.
He's also incredibly smart.
Okay.
There is a guy.
They're back.
The heavy guy. That's Bill Hootkins. That's one of the guys I was talking about. He's
here in a minute. Don't worry.
If you're a trivia buffs and you look, you will find Bill in almost every big American movie made in England from probably the mid-70s, probably up to now, I think. I don't know what he's doing there.
He'll be here in a minute.
I made a film a few years later called Outland, which begins actually with John Ratzenberger's head exploding. However, that's another story.
Not so good. You lost three. Hey, you are one lucky son of a bitch, let me tell you.
Where's Patton?
One lucky son of a bitch.
Where's Patton?
I never saw an airplane break up into so many little pieces.
Where's Patton?
He took a direct hit. Must have been right in the bomb bay with a full load.
I don't know where I got the name Patton from. I have no idea. Most of the names I know.
Hey, where's Chimino, huh? I want to tell him. If it hadn't been for that engine of yours, it would have been you instead of Patton. I want to tell Chimino to go kiss that engine of yours.
What's the matter?
Report engine. Something was wrong.
Come on, sit down.
Give it to me. Every time an engine starts up, I hear something. Come on. It was something.
I remember what follows is a fairly elaborate and long dolly shot outside.
Ladies, this whole play.
And I remember not being happy because it's bumpy. Except there's just a limit what you could do then. Here it is. That's actually short than the shot was.
You found it, God damn you. You found it, right?
I don't know yet.
Tell me you found it.
You
jerk.
Take it.
Easy.
He heard it.
Hey.
Excuse me, folks.
We had to do that and keep on replacing the bulb with that little light the man dropped every time. I liked the fact that it would flash and go out.
I heard it. I heard it. Believe me, Patton, I heard it.
So we're going to play.
No, we're not going to play.
Believe me, Patton.
I heard it, Patton.
Noch einmal. Ihr Name?
Keller, Helmut Keller.
Wo sind Sie geboren?
Essen.
Wann?
1908.
Dienstgrad?
Major.
Name der Mutter?
Gut.
Name des Vaters?
Karl.
It's an actor named Keith Buckley. He had been in John Borman's wonderful film Excalibur.
Ich habe Ihnen die Papiere gezeigt.
Papiere kann man fälschen.
Wer?
Wie lautet der Befehl?
Das habe ich Ihnen bereits gesagt.
I hate Zooms. This is a dolly. A lot of people don't realize the difference between a Zoom and a dolly, and I think they should. If you zoom into something, You're keeping the audience stationary and actually bringing the image to the audience. If you dolly into something, then you're moving towards something. Same thing with the zoom back.
Und ich habe Ihnen gesagt, bitte schön, dass Sie singen. Ich verstehe nicht, warum Sie nicht geatmet haben. Mein Name ist Helmut Keller. Ich bin Major. Ich bin hier abgestellt von General Wallheim.
Und ich habe Ihnen gesagt, Sie wissen, wer Sie sind. Hören Sie auf zu lügen.
Here's the trick.
Please don't.
There you go. I remember when I first shot this, everybody was going a little nuts because the only light I was using was this overhead light, which I had actually made a bit reflective so I could put all that light on. And everybody was begging me to add some light. And I said no. And when I see it now, I'm glad I didn't listen. There are more things than I can count where I wish I had listened, except this is, strange enough, not one of them.
PM himself was talking to you. One slip like that and you're quite dead. All right, lesson over. It's time we took a break. Don't be discouraged. You're doing fine, just fine. Come on, I'll pay for the tea. Come on. It's all right.
Now, shall we learn his lesson?
Lieutenant Wells, class is over for the afternoon. Tape, pause.
You clever devil.
Sometimes when we're together, I feel so close that I don't know where I end and you begin. I never knew it could
be. You know, when you shoot something, I've come to the conclusion, you know, my conclusions don't mean much. Somebody who thought Dukakis was going to win by a landslide, except I believe that when you shoot something, especially if it's going to be fairly slow, if the pace seems right when you're shooting it, it's too slow. I don't know why. I don't think I would have had everybody rush. Except I think I would have had things go a little faster. Whenever I make a film, I get into fights with both film editors, producers, and studios that they're not used to getting into because I always want to take out more than they want to take out. I remember fighting with my editor on this scene. I just wanted to make it much, much shorter and much, much faster.
It makes me hate myself and wish I'd never met you. But then when I'm with you, and it's so strong, and I don't ever want to let you go.
Boy, she's very, very pretty and very good.
Why don't things work out the way they're supposed to?
I don't know how things are supposed to work out.
She's actually a very, very sweet lady.
I don't know anymore what I heard in that engine. A couple of months ago, the whole propeller could have fallen off and I wouldn't have gone back. It's so damn easy to be brave when you haven't got anything to lose. I'm scared now. I don't want to die and not see you.
I know it sounds corny, except a point I wanted to make in this movie is a kind of guiding principle of my life, which is that brave people are frightened people.
And we'll let you go.
If somebody's not scared in the time of danger, they're either delusional or stupid.
I don't want to wake
they're
up
not brave.
Not know if, I'm going to see you that
if somebody's really frightened and then still does the difficult thing, they're brave.
I want you to put me back together.
Hold me now. Make everything outside go away.
On the way in to see you, I was trying to think of a way to tell you that we shouldn't see each other anymore.
I did the same thing.
Now, here you have your two mates.
This actor is a very famous in England, kind of vaudeville and stage comedian named Max Wall. Delightful, delightful man. A great physical comedian, too.
To the right or the left. If it's your key lock, it's just a matter of finding a proper key.
In the absence of a key, a problem which has confronted many folks, there are certain very delicate instruments that do a right proper job. And then, well, it's just a matter of learning how to use them.
Now, how long will it take to learn to open one?
Well, you've got to understand that opening these things is not something...
This really wasn't a set. This was literally just out of place. Put some boxes in a window source in, and that's all it was.
Well, it's a key lock, a couple of days. It's a combination lock, I'd say about 6 months.
And in fact, if you look at this...
It is a Kona 335.
That's a Jerry safe.
Yes, Harry, you may have noticed that we're at war with the Germans.
Oh, you've got a point.
If you look at it, you can see that...
Which is it?
Well, you're in luck.
Some of the lighting is not as good as it could be.
Any school kid could crack it. As a matter of fact, I cracked one almost like it when I was a school kid. Right. Now, gentlemen, here you have, before your very eyes, your lockpick. And you have here your safe, which is almost the same as your Kona 335. Now, you insert your lockpick into your Kona 335, feeling your way through the elements. For your personal information, there happened to be four. One. Two. Three. Four. Apple pie. Bleeding apple pie.
Hey, nice to see you, Lieutenant.
See you, sir.
Why don't you sit down?
This is one of those films, like a lot of movies, that's based on, or predicated on coincidence. A big coincidence. When you like the movie, the coincidence is interesting and ironic. When you don't like the movie, the coincidence is ridiculous.
It's for tomorrow night. Oh, about the other day, I checked with the mechanic. It's strange, he couldn't find a thing.
However, you have to buy into the coincidence in this film.
Well, I'm sure there was. If you heard it. Look, a mechanic's not a pilot, right? I don't listen to any kind of rumor. Never. There's been a lot of talk around. But you know what a base is like. You can't pay any attention to that kind of talk. But I don't believe for a moment.
Again, if you look closely, I mean, Shane Rimmer is lit by the desk lamp. And again, these are kind of cameraman conceits. There is a single shadow behind him. If you look at some not very good lighting, you will see people throwing double shadows and triple shadows because they're being lit from different places. And many cameramen swear a kind of oath of vendetta against double and triple shadows.
So
it's sometimes one of the ways you know that it's not that bad.
Is he ready?
I think he's as ready as he ever will be.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I can't be too specific. And there's nothing wrong with Wells. He does everything the way he's supposed to. I'd simply prefer him to be a bit more spontaneous.
In London, they don't have Titan cranes like we have here. I don't know if people are familiar with a Titan crane, except it's that big, big crane that's attached to, like, a truck that symbolizes kind of Hollywood movies. There happens to be one of the most beautiful and elegant pieces of film equipment ever made. There are not a lot of them around, except we have them here in America. We have quite a few of them in California. And they don't have them in England.
Totally different word.
So the crane moves are not as big as I would like them to have been.
And we're not going to use intelligence for the flight. Chaps don't even know.
London is so unlike New York and so unlike Los Angeles in the sense that you can do a film that was set 50 years ago in London and not have that difficult a time finding places to shoot, whereas in Los Angeles, it's almost impossible now to shoot something that took place in the 50s or 60s because, you know, we don't really save our older buildings. So it's much more difficult here. He gets on the phone and he calls her, and she's working in a hospital, I believe, and that I can't remember where the hospital was. It wasn't a set. It was an old abandoned hospital.
Hello, handsome.
What's in the data?
I do hope you like potatoes.
As a photographer, one of the things I see when I see this film, some of it has to do with the fact it's on DVD and video. DVD is much better than videotape, thank God. You don't get the blacks as black as you want. And some of it's because, frankly, it's overlit. So I'll blame you guys for some of it, and I'll have to take the blame for some.
Hello?
Hello?
I can't hear you. It's madness here. Is that you, Paul?
Yes.
What you want, as a filmmaker, is you would like people who are going to see your film to see the film that you made. So when you go into a movie theater, you want to see the film look and sound like the filmmaker intended. I think videotape is almost impossible to recreate what a film looks and sounds like, and DVD is a gigantic leap forward. So much better.
Oh, no, I'm not. We both know it. It's just my curse to be so damned ordinary.
However, there's still a way to go, to be honest with you. The dynamic range of DVDs are infinitely superior to videotape, except the dynamic range of film is pushing 11 and a half stops. So you could get blacks and get whites in the same frame that are pretty rich.
Oh, I'm so glad you called, but... Oh, I'm sorry. I have to go now.
Leslie's name and Chris's name, last name is Selinger, has a wonderful, legendary British agent named Dennis Selinger, who was Sean Connery's agent and Michael Caine's agent years ago. Very, very sweet man. So I use his name. I sometimes name characters after people I don't like if they're real shitty old. I try not to, though. Characters' names are actually important. I don't know why. Sometimes it seems just to fit them. You get me, Lieutenant. I mean, if you name somebody Humphrey, they're going to wind up looking and acting like a Humphrey.
Hey. Dark now. No kidding. No, really, I wouldn't fool you. Why are we the only plane taking off? Because we got a special mission.
Every time I see a film, I always detest when people are being photographed in cars and they're lit by dashboard lights. It's just one of the worst looking things in the world. And here I've done it. I've lit people in the aviation red, because at least I've done that. Because it has to be red at night. Except these people are way, way, way overlit. Makes me insane.
On account of the fact that people don't blow up the way bombs do.
Look at that. Starting port engine. I should be arrested. The reason why red lights are used in the aviation illumination is because the pupil... the pupil stays dilated with red. So you can still see outside.
Dorkin, maybe he's not so stupid.
Now, if you think that was easy to get out of that plane as quickly as Harrison did, you're mistaken. That plane is like a Rube Goldberg machine and it wasn't built for people Harrison's size. It was built for Lilliputians.
Captain Selinger, Captain Lieutenant Howard.
That, by the way, is the obvious coincidence of the movie, of the two of them winding up together.
Hello?
Mummy.
Hello, darling. Oh, your hair smells nice.
Mrs. Carling washed it for me and got soap in my eyes.
Did you cry?
Wouldn't you cry if Mrs. Carling got soap in your eyes?
It's interesting. I believe you can see the difference in styles of movies.
Mrs. Carling gave me...
This movie is, 21 years old?
Did you say where he was going?
You look at the average movie now.
I think that's romantic.
Things that I perpetrate on the American public as well as things that really good people do. We're closer to the actors. We tend to use close-ups more. We tend not to lay back as much.
What does Daddy say?
I mean, if you look at the really fabulous old films, you look at the Hawkses and the Fords.
Daddy has to go away.
They stayed back more.
When will he be back?
Soon, very soon.
Will he bring me something? Your coat's ruined.
I don't know why. I think so. It actually has to do with television and...
Have you ever seen an orange...
Seeing things on television a lot.
Come, Mommy, look at it. Mommy, come on!
Listen, I don't mean to be pushy, but you know that Englishman we got on board? He isn't an Englishman.
Yeah, he should be about two full stops darker than me.
Lightning bolts on his collar. Oh, I forgot to tell you.
As they should be.
We decided the Germans can't lose. We're going to be on their side now.
Oh, God, I like the uniforms.
Captain Salinger, you okay?
Quite well, thank you, Lieutenant.
We're over the French coast. We'll try and avoid any German position. I'm beginning to think this isn't such a crazy mission. When the time comes, we'll remove the belly hatch. That's when you'll drop through.
Remember, keep your arms tight to your body so you're clear of the props.
I shall remember.
Thank you. When we get the plane under attack here.
Oh, Jesus!
He's trying to use the kind of drama of it, of the light. It's about light and dark to me. Trouble is, to me, I didn't make the darks dark enough. I made the lights light enough. I got half of it right.
No. I'm not supposed to die. Stop it. It's all a mistake.
Lieutenant Howard, are you all right?
My head up here is bad. I don't know if I can keep it flying.
I'm afraid we've been hit back here. How bad? Rather bad. I think they're both dead.
Lucas? Guyler.
Guyler, that's right. That's another name. Guyler is David Guyler, who was a very, very, very talented writer. One of the brains behind Alien.
Don't do this. Please don't. My God. He has no face.
See, my instinct is not to lay back in this shot as long as I've done it. My instinct is to...
He has no face.
Have more dramatic cuts between them. I mean, some of it's okay. Some of it just seems endless to me. I've spoken to some people who've made wonderful films, and they really enjoy looking at them. And can appreciate that they made a wonderful film. Maybe it's because I don't think I've ever made a very good film. It's so painful for me to look at stuff. Except if I was ever captured by some foreign power and they wanted to get any secret out of me that I could possibly have and they wanted me to talk, I think the quickest way to get me to do it is just put a collection of films I've made in front of me and say, you got to watch them until you tell us where something's buried. Biggest struggle you ever have as a cinematographer is how much light to use and how much light not to use. In fact, you need more on green than you need in other colors because it's the lowest emulsion layer. So you're always afraid of underdoing it, and then you look at your stuff and you go, it's overdone.
It's like somebody took a vacuum cleaner and straightened out the mess. All gone. It's not right. I should have left a mark.
I'm really sorry. I know how you feel. I'm so sorry I caused all this.
It's not your fault.
You know where we are?
About 20 miles south.
I will say that during what was supposed to be very dramatic moments of this movie, every time I saw Christopher Plummer, I sometimes would start singing something from The Sound of Music.
thank you for everything.
Just to get him nuts. He has a wonderful sense of humor. He's a particularly sweet, nice man.
Leon is north of here, you say?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I hate to impose on you, but you happen to know which way is north?
Yeah, that way.
Thank you again.
Too much light there. See that?
Oh.
Supposed to be night, you dimbulb.
I say, Lieutenant Halloran, I'm really sorry to be such a burden to you. I wonder if you wouldn't mind giving me a hand.
Probably sprained. It's not broken. It's going to be sore for a while. Mind if I ask you a question?
No, not at all.
I was wondering, seeing as how you don't know north from south and you can't take 10 steps without falling on your ass, I was wondering, have you ever done anything like this before?
Well, now that you mention it, no.
Wonderful. Well, you look real spiffy in the uniform. I don't want to go with you, you know. Not one bit.
No.
You don't know what the hell you're doing. And I certainly don't know what the hell I'm doing. Here I am, as we speak, going with you. We're going to get our asses shot off.
Well, I'm really grateful to you. I really am.
Oh, that's just swell.
Meanwhile, back in London.
Who?
This is Sevenger. This is Major Trumbo.
Oh, my God, it's... Is he all right?
I was always afraid when I made that shot. See, there's too much smoke. Look at that. I was always afraid when I did that shot of her and you heard them speaking and it was in the dark that people were going to start screaming at the projectionist and get all distracted. Except I figured, what the hell.
Your husband's a good man, intelligent. I'm certain he's all right.
I just can't understand why he went in place of Wales. Can't understand it at all.
Not like him to be so impulsive. I'll call
it's tough to look at some of this.
I'm sure he's fine. Mrs. Savage, are you there?
Thank you.
We didn't have a great deal of rehearsal time. I've always been very, very, very embarrassed to say that I don't really know how to rehearse a lot of things. I've always longed to be like a grown-up and sit around a big table with metal chairs like they do in the theater and do readings and rehearse. I just don't know how, because so much to me of what a film is about is where it's taking place. And I don't know how you rehearse being in an airplane or walking in the woods or driving in a car. I don't know how you rehearse that. I've always thought it was a huge failing of mine. One of the best things that ever happened to me was, which will give you an indication of how my life is, one of the best things that ever happened to me was I was watching Inside the Actor's Studio and Sidney Pollack was interviewed. And he said he doesn't really know how to rehearse very much because it's so tied to the physicality of the film. And I remember feeling, well, there's one really talented grown-up who feels the way I do. So it made me feel a little less isolated than I feel. I just don't know how to do it. It's my failing. It's nothing else. I put a smoke machine on a little Jeep and went running down that little riverbank to get that fog in the morning. This was shot in the Cotswolds. Cotswolds is an area of England where Oxford University is. And it's known for that stone, all these walls. It's called Cotswold Stone. This little loft was built. I remember asking the farmer who owned this farmhouse, how old was it? And he said, the old wing or the new wing? And I went, well, okay, the new wing. And the new wing was from 1640-something. And the old wing was from, like, 12-something. In England, they have a slightly different time frame than we have. I remember I was sitting in the studio, and I had made this movie, Capricorn One, on Radford Avenue in what was the MTM Studios. And so I'd been there for about a year and a half, and then I was in England, and I was sitting in the commissary, and I was looking, and there was a photograph of Queen Elizabeth on the wall. And the guy from the studio said, well, why are you staring at that photograph? I said, I don't know if you understand. I spent a year and a half at a place where Mary Tyler Moore was on the wall. So it's just a different time frame. This actress is a very, very good actress named Suzanne Bertisch. She's done a lot of theater in England. Really good.
Ah! Oh, no. N'avez pas peur. Tout va bien. Je suis anglais.
Oh, les mains.
Non, c'est vrai, mademoiselle. C'est vrai, je suis anglais, vraiment. You think you give me a hand here? She's going to kill me. She thinks I'm German.
I wonder why she thinks you're German.
Betty Grable, Hershey Bars, Yankee Stadium. Hello, Joe.
Harrison's funny. He's just flat out got a wonderful sense of humor.
Killed by the Germans. Her father refused to do anything about it. He's a collaborator, out of fear more than anything else, I should suppose. She says she's doing what he should be doing.
Sa voiture est prenez-la.
Oh.
That vehicle is called a Kübelwagen. The Germans liked it a lot. They used it. Later on, Volkswagen, I remember, came out with a model that looked distressingly similar to a Kübelwagen in the 70s or 80s.
This is going to work out rather well.
Thrilled.
As an SS officer, I'm entitled to an aide. You're wearing the uniform of a sergeant. It won't look at all out of place.
Where won't it look out of place?
At Gestapo headquarters in Lyon.
Friend, you've got a perfect right to get yourself killed if that's what you want, and I've got a right to stay alive.
This was the second of the four sunny days in the 10 months I was there.
This thing alone, because my leg is hurt, and this thing has got to be done. It's that important.
I don't speak German, in case you didn't notice. How am I going to fool anybody if I don't speak German?
Well, if you don't speak to anyone, then no one will know you don't speak German. That makes sense, doesn't it?
I don't know where I got the name Hanover Street. I mean, I know there's a street called Hanover Street. I must have seen it. I'm feeling a bit dense because I actually don't remember where I got the name of the street, Hanover Street. I know here in Los Angeles there's a section called Brentwood and there's a Hanover Street there, except I remember seeing that street after I had made the film, so it couldn't have been that. Philip Harrison did a terrific job of aging things. Considering that stone there is all brand new, that's pretty well done.
Better get rid of the cigarettes.
What?
And the lighter. They're American.
Mind if I ask you something?
This is a continuation of the second sunny day of four sunny days in the 10 months I was there.
That's rather complicated. I don't know how to answer that.
Try.
Well, all my life, no matter what I did, I've always been the same thing. Pleasant. I'm pleasant.
This
I was a teacher.
Is a classically unimportant thing to say, except I like when you're shooting people in a car to put the camera not on the car, to put the camera on another vehicle. So you get this kind of feeling, and you can see the car bouncing in the frame and moving in the frame a bit.
More than I ever thought anything could
do. I don't like car mounts as much.
Well, take a look at yourself.
I can't.
I would put this revelation alongside something like shoe polish that glows in the dark. It's not particularly important. It was just something I thought of.
Even if you don't want to be one, you are. You can't help it. And you're the one who is ice skating on the lake when the little boy falls into the freezing water, and you save him. I'm the one who gives you my coat to wrap him in. And when it's all over, you're on the front page of all the newspapers saying it was really nothing. And I have a wet coat.
This town that we used for Gestapo headquarters in Lyon was, again, in the Cotswolds near Oxfordshire. I'm trying to remember the name of the actual town, and I do not remember it. That building in the middle is the town hall, and they were something less than totally thrilled about putting Nazi flags on. The the British don't have a gigantic sense of humor about the Second World War. Not that it was a funny war, it's just that they were not happy about us having German soldiers and German flags running around.
You're supposed to open the door for me.
This is in a different place. This corridor is in a absolutely astonishingly beautiful place called Blenheim Palace, which is, among other things, where Winston Churchill spent part of his boyhood. So all these corridors are in the kind of bad part of the palace, where the servants and all the deliveries are. It's not in the building that we shut the exterior in. This was also in the early part of Steadicam, and there's a fair amount of Steadicam work that comes up here. I have not made too many contributions to American or anybody else's culture, except the one thing I did do was, and again, this is pretty high up in the obscurity ladder, I developed and actually paid for the Steadicam mount being turned to the low mode. Before, Steadicam could only be high. And I worked with a man named Robert Gottschalk, who at that time was head of Panavision, and paid for the development of changing it around. You can file that. I feel terrible. I forgot this actor's name.
Danke.
He's very nice, and I used him in Outland.
They changed it. They put in a new safe. It's a combination safe. I haven't the foggiest notion how to open it.
I love it.
That cut should have come quicker.
Mrs. Selinger, what a pleasant surprise.
I am sorry to barge in on you like this, Major Trumbo.
Eugene Lipinski.
We spoke last night, and I've been beside myself. I was hoping that you'd learn something.
The actor's name, I was just reminded, was Eugene Lipinski, that's right. And Gene was in Outland. He's another one who blew up. It's difficult to describe if you don't know the film. Very good actor, though.
I still can't understand why Paul acted so impulsively.
I can.
Really? Why?
It's not something I can explain.
Hannah was treating
a
good cast.
I do assure you, I will contact you the moment I hear anything. I've spoken to the American...
I think these actors were good enough to be saved from me. They're waiting. And they're enjoyable to watch.
Paul was in an American plane from the 8th Air Force. This man, Bart, is the wing commander.
Where's he located?
At Windsor Field.
Thank you very much, Major. I do apologize for pestering you, sir.
Mrs. Selinger, seeing Colonel Bart won't accomplish anything. He knows no more than I do.
I'm sure you're right. Thank you again.
That was a very difficult location to light. Because of the dark wooden walls. I wanted it because I liked it, except it was difficult. Now we're back in that town with the town hall, with the Nazi flag and the unhappy people. When this big kind of running around thing starts, I think if it's in any way good, it's because of the use of Steadicam in the lower mode. And at that time, it was called Panaglide. That was Panavision's competition for Steadicam. Sometimes when I look at my stuff and I think I can do it better, I also think that's like being taller than a pygmy. It's not that hard.
Guten Abend, Herr Elvis. Panzer Schweiz sind einige Passiere vor General Wahlheim. Ich möchte sicherstellen, dass Sie in Ordnung sind. Ich habe die Papiere heute gebracht. Hier ist meine Quittung.
Christopher German is absolutely impeccable. He speaks perfect French. He's Canadian, actually. His grandfather, I think, or his uncle was the Prime Minister of Canada.
Es tut mir leid, Herr Oberst.
Sie werden meine Befehle ausführen.
Herr Oberst, ich brauche eine Vollmacht.
Entschuldigung, Herr Oberst.
Sometimes I think German sounds better when it's shouted. Or it sounds more German. Now, see, here's what I love about Harrison. He is projecting being scared stiff, and he does it without any embarrassment or fear. He just does it.
Das ist doch lächerlich.
I've been right about a few things in my life. I really did think that Harrison Ford was going to become a gigantic movie star. I remember when I was going over the all the wardrobe and looking at the details of it. And I was looking at the German uniforms and officer uniforms and enlisted men uniforms and flags. And I remember thinking they had an unbelievable production designer, because the design of what the Third Reich did is just so effective, so frightening. The red and black, the little skulls, the lightning bolts. I mean, they just had a terrific production designer. They just happen to be the worst group of people that ever lived. This is all Steadicam. Again, it's nothing novel about it now. Then it actually was, it was just coming in. First time I had ever seen it, and it may have been the first time it was ever used in a film that people knew about, was Rocky. It was invented by a really, really talented and smart fellow named Garrett Brown. And it did change filmmaking. So much light.
Garçon!
Now, pretty soon we can start to run a little bit.
Wo ist der Vater Leiter? Wo ist gefragte Leute? Ich spreche mit Ihnen.
Ja.
fixtures up. You can actually see the wiring. Again, because to me it appeared that things would look like, it would make you look like you were moving faster as these fixtures go by the camera. It's not nuclear physics, it's just... That guy sure seemed like he was posing there, didn't it? That's terrible. Look at it again, that soldier outside that door looked awful. I've never taken drugs in my life. It's just, there are times I look at things I've done and I go, what was I smoking? See, this is done with those shots, and there's more coming up later. That's all done with a Steadicam with a special mount. Where it's underslung in the low mode. And I think you can get a feeling of speed. Well, that's pretty awful looking. Those guys look like dime store dummies in that thing, and it was just not necessary. Oof. Tough.
Mrs. Sellinger?
Yes.
I'm Colonel Bart. Major Trumbull told me to be coming around.
It's nice of you to take the time to speak with me.
Not at all. Will you sit down?
I can only tell you it doesn't look as bad when you're doing it as when you see it.
I'm an awful pest. It's just that I have to know for myself what's happened.
Well, yes, of course. Well, we've received no notification of survivors. Can't send reconnaissance aircraft in to check... For fear of drawing attention to the mission. You understand?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, there's every chance they manage to pick
up. I like the cigarette smoke.
You don't know for sure.
No.
I know that's a kind of silly thing to talk about now, except I like the cigarette smoke curling in the light from the window.
The pilot, Lieutenant Halloran, is a very determined, very resourceful man.
Wait.
C'est nous. Apple pie.
She's a good actress. Wish I had more for her to do in this film. You know, you make a film someplace and you get actors and they're just so good and you don't have big roles. You wish you had bigger roles.
Hey, je vais chercher du pain du vin.
Formidable, merci. Well... We did it.
She said, I'm going to go get some bread and wine. I was just showing off my rotten French. Had nothing to do with what's going on.
Oh, we'll get out all right. It'd be silly for us to come this far and not get out.
Run my whole day.
You voudrais appeler les gendarmes.
Vite, vite, vite.
I can go back now. I can be more for her to see.
She must be very special.
She is very special. Have you ever felt that way about any woman?
Yeah. I do now. Except with me, it's different. Ever since I met her, I don't know who I am anymore.
Well, I know who you are. You're a good and brave man.
I don't feel very brave.
That's absurd. Look what you've done.
It's interesting when you look at Harrison and Christopher there together in the scene.
Whatever I did because I was too scared to die.
They're such different kind of actors.
Men who aren't frightened aren't brave. They're insane.
Harrison's a much more
you're only brave when there's something to lose.
Organic.
And you're still trying.
And Christopher's such a wonderfully trained actor.
Go to her. Hold her. Never let go. That's what I'm going to
They're
do
both
see Margaret.
Very, very, very nice people, and I think it's their niceness that comes out in a lot of the work that they do.
Tell me more about your wife. What's her name?
Margaret. God, I love that name, don't you?
Yeah.
How do I tell you about her? Well, if there is really such a thing as one woman for you, it's Margaret for me. Oh, I know that sounds like something out of Mother Goose, but it's true. We have a daughter, Sarah. She looks like her mother, which is reason enough to think she...
Now, again, you're not easy. Yes. Watch Harris's reaction. It's emotional. Isn't she? He's cool.
Ah, bravo, bravo, ma chère
mademoiselle. Allez dans les montagnes.
Oui.
Il y a un pan à 8 km d'ici, à gauche, près de la rivière. Un groupe de la résistance vous y attend.
Très bien. Well, that's marvelous. She says there's a bridge about 8 kilometers from here to the left. There's a resistance group waiting for us. Come on, old man. Something.
Okay, we're gonna start the chase now.
Watch. Oh, thanks.
Now, the whole thing with motorcycles. This thing was shot by... had a wonderful Steadicam operator, a man named Eric van Harenomen. Big, large Dutchman. He's now a DP here. And I wanted to... As I said, I wanted the Steadicam in low mode, and I wanted the Steadicam to be able to trail and lead a motorcycle as it's going over all kinds of terrain. So we took a Range Rover, and we built this lunatic aluminum box, basically like a refrigerator with glass in the front as opposed to a refrigerator door, anchored the Steadicam, put a seat in there, and stuck poor Eric with all kinds of seat belts on. And he could operate the Steadicam just without having to carry it, because it was mounted on the bottom of this box. And we could take the whole box off, obviously without Eric in it, and put it on the front of the car, and then put it on the back of the Range Rover, so we could lead and trail the motorcycle. So there's some moments where you get a feeling of speed, and it was over tough terrain.
Perfect.
Can ride a motorcycle. This is kind of what I'm talking about a bit. I think you get a sense that they're hauling ass here. If you ever look at a car chase or anything like that, you can always see tire tracks, because nobody ever gets it on the first take. So suddenly people are going through virgin territory and there's tire tracks all over the place and skid marks all over the place. Hopefully you don't look at it too much. We got a guy named 80 Kid, who was this motorcyclist. This is, by the way, the third and fourth sunny day. We got this guy named 80 Kid, who was this motorcycle jumper, to make this motorcycle jump, which actually... that's the longest motorcycle jump in history at that point. I don't know how many feet it was. It was in all the papers. That's not the longest motorcycle jump in history. That's the difference.
I think I left my kid.
Every photographer hates doing things in light that doesn't match, doing things in cloudy days and sunny days. You try to deal with as much as you can when you grade the print. Philip Harrison built this bridge, which I actually thought was a terrific-looking jury-rigged bridge. I don't think there's a guy around who... loves making movies. He's not excited about the fact that you can get soldiers and machine guns in a tank. Is a green screen shot. This is during you know, optical compositing as opposed to digital compositing. So it's difficult to make it look as good as you want to make it look.
Get back to London. Please, look up my wife. Her name is Margaret. Please. Tell her I died a brave man. Tell her. Help!
I think almost every war film ever made, there's always sequences where everybody's shooting and the people you don't want to get shot don't get shot.
Well, I got the wet coat again.
No. This time you hit the girl. No. Oh, no. No, you don't. No. You die and be okay.
Now, interestingly enough, that is not bad light balance. Still a bit too bright, except I think some of this is the transfer. However, the balance between light and dark is not bad here, and the color is not bad. I like the idea. I like the mixture of the rose and the yellow. Philip is a really good designer.
Hello? Yes.
Mommy, is it good crying or bad crying? I knew it.
I know where this hospital is in London. This is one of these sequences we shot at the very end of the movie, and I remember shooting it so vividly. Basically because it was the end. Kind of bouncy, isn't it? It's a very difficult line sometimes when you're trying to write something that's kind of flat-out romantic as to how corny you get.
I was lost for a while.
I look at a lot of this and I think, God, it's way too corny.
I just wish your eyes weren't that color. There's a man in a room down there.
I don't think it's a male thing.
I wish he wasn't.
When I first heard you'd been shot down together, I felt I was being punished. Then after a while,
you certainly have to be English to say some of the stuff that she says.
Come back.
I love you enough to let you go, which is more than I've ever loved anything or anybody in my life.
Wish I didn't cry all the damn time. I will never care for anyone the way I care for you.
And
things have to work out this well.
Things work out the way they're supposed to. And listen.
I remember this.
I gotta go to him and I gotta.
I guess it's not the most romantic thing to remember. Was this corridor was so live in terms of sound that people had to take their shoes off during the dialogue.
I'm entirely capable of messing this whole thing up, so you gotta help me.
I love you, Laura.
You notice you hear people moving around, you don't hear the footsteps.
You mean when you drink tea?
Go to the street. which actually is one of the better shots of the street. When I look at my work here, I think the thing that comes most to mind is, in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, John Cleese said he was turned into a newt. And someone says, "She turned you into a newt." And he said, "Well, I got better."